rediscovering my joy. Rediscovering my joy. I want you to focus on four verses. Verses 10 through 13 of the 51st Psalm. Just take a listen. Definitely go there, but take a listen. Because sometimes reading is one thing, but internalizing through hearing is another.
Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Rediscovering my joy. There's a movement that exists, and I don't think I'm too mad at this movement, honestly, where people are trying to encourage folk to get happy. Folk need to experience some happiness in their life. Sometimes you need to just stop doing what you're doing and find out what makes you happy. I'll share with you what makes me happy. When I'm able to get out and go to my grill and I prepare the grill right and I have waiting on me about an inch and a half thick ribeye. Forget all that lean stuff, you know. Lean stuff is most of the week, but the one thing that I really like is that, you know, it's all about the marbling inside the meat. You know, some people need to learn about their steaks, you know. It's the fat on the inside of the meat, not the outside of the meat. Amen. And when I get that steak and I season it very well, my grandfather can attest to my skills. When I season it really well and it's sitting in that seasoning for a while and it's perfectly at the perfect temperature to actually put on the grill, something makes me happy when I hear the sound. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Thank you. That sound. Because I know there's going to be those perfect grill marks. And as I watch that thing come together, all of a sudden, it just makes me happy. Because I know that when it's all said and done, it's going to look right. It's going to taste right. But then I get sad. Because once it's in my stomach, there is no more. Happiness is like enjoying a steak. It only lasts so long. Is predicated upon circumstance. Nothing wrong with being happy. Folks should be happy.
Amen.
And find reasons to be happy. But the thing that keeps us when happiness eludes us is joy. Now we don't talk about joy enough because we think that joy is equal to happiness. And that is not the case, because if that was true, then there would be a lot more going on. But joy is something that cuts through hard moments.
Yes.
In life.
Yes.
I think about my journey, and there are moments when I can honestly tell you I was sitting in my recliner and I think about my life and I just look around and say, you know what? This ain't none of what I want.
Right.
And this is none of where I want to be. And this is none of what I expected for my life. And I promise you, I sat hard sometimes and said, how did I get here? But then God reminded me I had a little more to live for. That in the midst of what I was going through, he showed me a reason to have joy. I had a son that thinks I'm the best thing in the world. I have a wife that thinks that I'm still the man. I got family that supports me. I got a roof over my head, food on my table. And even when it wasn't what I wanted, God said, you're still here. Joy cuts through some stuff. But joy also cuts through some of our foolishness. Because sometimes we can get so consumed by the environment that we lose sight of what we are, who we are, and whose we are. And we can lose it so quickly that we look back and we say, how did I get here? It's almost like what happens to some people, unfortunately, when they go out to sea. When the waves begin to happen and the currents come in. And they say, get out of the water before the what? The current causes you to drift. But some people don't heed the warning. And as they think they can navigate that thing because they're good swimmers, that current is so strong it drags them further and further away from the shore. Until the point where they possibly could sink and they could die. Sometimes life pulls us that hard that even though we think we're doing everything we can, we're still getting ripped away from the place that we ought to be. Look at this man named David. We hype David up, but we don't always tell the truth about David. Can we talk about David as the real man, not just the myth? David, yes. Last week I talked about him being anointed, and he was. David was anointed to be king before the king that was on the throne would be disposed. David became king after Saul lost in a battle. David became the man. He was chosen because his heart was towards God. I mean, the man literally wrote songs while defending sheep. He had all the elements and qualities that God wanted in a king to come after Saul. The man rose to prominence and was the first king under a united Israel. Caused everybody to come together. But one day, he got caught up. See, sometimes you read stuff and you don't know the background. See, the 51st Psalm dealt with his biggest mess up, or one of them. Remember that woman Bathsheba that gets beat down all the time? No, I'm being honest, because some people have just beat this woman down for no reason, saying it was her fault that he got caught up. No, that's not Bible. Bible tells us Bathsheba was minding a business. And when David should have been off to war with the rest of them, he was in the palace all by himself. And he looked out the window and saw the finest thing he had seen in a while. And he said to himself, I want that woman. And David used his authority. Bible. I'm not telling you something wrong. I'm not telling you something that others have not seen or discussed. It's in the book. Used his authority to get this woman who was married to one of his faithful soldiers. Come to his house. And the rest is history. She got pregnant. David had Uriah killed. He tried to get it covered up where, you know, Uriah, come stay and hang out, but stay away from the front line. But I want you to do this. You're here to defend me, but I want you to do this. Go home, be with your wife. He was trying to cover up everything he could. Come on, it's in the book. It is in the book. That's why you should read your Bible and not even have to watch Jerry Springer. It's in the book. It's in there. Jerry Springer just did stuff that was already done, okay? He tried to cover it up. He tried to worm his way out. But Uriah was such a faithful dude, he stayed with him. He said, no, you might get shot up. Somebody might try to kill you. I'm going to stay right here. Couldn't do nothing. And with all this happening, set that man up.
Yes, he did.
Told his soldiers, put him up there and withdraw. That man got killed. Bathsheba lost her husband. Bathsheba lost her baby. And David was the cause. So David, in the midst of his mess, in the midst of being drawn away from what he was known for, sat down and penned this psalm that we talk about. We shout off the Creator in me, but now that you heard that, it sounds a little different, don't it? Because he's talking about how far he had drifted away from what gave him joy. The drifting was so much that he caused pain in other people's lives. See, this is why we got to be careful with how we handle people. Because some people that seem like they're going after you and coming at you all crazy, sometimes they're in the midst of a drifting. And they don't know how to come back. Which means that you and I have to become so aware of who we are in God now. That we're able to remember that we've all had a Psalm 51 situation. You may not have gone out and did the things that David did, but every once in a while, you have had a moment in your life where you have drifted away. You forgot what it was all about. You forgot what it meant to really experience what it is to know the joy of the Lord being your strength. There are moments in your life you can reflect back and say to yourself, I was not in a good head space. And I didn't know why it was happening. I didn't know what was going on. But I know I got caught up and I couldn't feel what God was trying to do in my life because I didn't have focus. I need to get back. What brought my smile? What brought my happiness? What brought my joy? When I think back to how the Lord saved me. Yes. And I've shared this a million times. It wasn't hell that scared me to him. It was his love that drew me in. He drew me in with his love. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll walk with you every step of the way. Even when others leave you alone, I'm not going to leave you. That drew me in. Can you imagine what it's like to be somebody that has low self-esteem, knowing that you got somebody that is greater than any entity on planet Earth telling you that I am going to walk and be by your side the entire time, even when others are trying to come at you? That should bring you some joy. That should liven you up. That should let you know that you are not alone. But every now and then, we have moments when we don't feel it.
Yes.
Which means that we got some work to do. Some of you in here right now live your entire existence at this point with no smile on your face. Live your existence thinking about all that is consuming you right now. But can I stand here as a living witness and tell you that the moment you realize that God is still the source of your joy, it will break up all that stuff. A smile will have to creep across your face. You won't look like you've been sucking on lemons all the time. You'll be able to be honest with yourself and say, it may not be good today, but I do not live in today's reality, but I live in the promise that the Lord will deliver.
Yes.
Come on in here. Somebody ought to talk to me. Every now and then you got to have a moment that reminds you that I will not be here always. This is not going to be my lot. This is not going to be my end. This is not where I'm going to stay. God has more in store for my life. And even if I'm not happy today, I got joy knowing that it's not going to last always. So, here's how you're going to rediscover it, and I'm finished. Rediscovering your joy. Why do you need to rediscover it? One, it keeps you from the prison of your shortcomings. The biggest thing about this text is that David acknowledges how messed up he was.
Yes, sir.
Go back to the first verse where it says, first verse is, everybody shouts at 10. Don't shout at 10. Shout at 1.
Amen.
Have mercy on me, O God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are acknowledging out of the gate that you are a mess.
Yes.
In every program that exists, whether it's dealing with addiction or anything else, it is about you having a moment when you come to yourself. And you acknowledge where you are. That is not a new concept. It is the moment you realize that you have reached that point, which is the first step to getting to where you need to go. See, you got to acknowledge this stuff at least. Don't act like it don't exist. Don't act like you're not angry sometimes. That's a pile of mess, ain't it? You walking around, you're like, I ain't angry, and your whole face turned up. You don't want to say nothing to nobody. To quote a comedian, you may have that moment like some people that you come in and say, praise the Lord. No, 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 you praise the Lord. You are not in the mood. You are going through your stuff and you refuse to come out of it because you are consumed by it. When you're consumed by it, you can't see nothing. Come on, talk. Let's be real. When you're consumed by it, you can't see the light. Okay, let me say it a different way. If you're in a house and you close every blind, shut every door, turn off every light, and live in darkness, how do you know that there's any light anywhere? How can you even feel the prospect of any light? Because even if you can't see it, light in a good sense, sometimes you can feel it at least.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
When you completely consume yourself with your stuff and you asking God to deliver you, but you refuse to let God do it. He said, create in me. That is the opening. Create in me. I'm not going to do it because I can't. I am totally out of options. I have tried everything. I have tried every move. I have come up with all kind of stuff and I can't do it. I've tried enough. I've failed enough. Create in me. Clean heart. And watch it. Renew. A right spirit within me. Change this thing from the inside so that it can reflect on the outside. I'm going through it because it was my stuff. Can I say this too? Everything ain't the devil. The devil ain't that smart. There's some stuff that's just you and me. So there comes a point where you just got to say what? Fix me. And when you tell God, fix me, you are submitting yourself to being fixed. You got to come out of putting yourself in prison. In prison to what? Your guilt. In prison to what? Your shortcomings. In prison to what? All that stuff. The fancy word, your proclivities. Get yourself out. Because it's better to be free and be led by God than to keep yourself on lockdown when it's not necessary. Rediscovering our joy, number two, reminds us of the power of our salvation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to me the joy of salvation. You know, the hardest thing in life when you're in the church is seeing people that get into the, how should I put it, into the routine of church. Here's what we do. We know exactly what's going to happen. We know we're going to process with the light. We're going to go back out. We're going to sing this song. We're going to have announcements. We're going to give our offering. We're going to do the doxology. We're going to read scripture. The preacher going to get up there, holler a couple minutes. We're going to stop. We're going to see if folk come to Jesus. We're going to pray, and we're going to go home. And next Sunday, we'll come back and do the same thing again. But because it's first Sunday, we'll add communion, and then we'll do the same thing, leave out. And then the next Sunday, we'll change it back up without communion because we only do it on the first Sunday. And we'll go through the... We go through the motions. And when you go through the motions, part of that is because you have lost the sense and the touch of what got you here in the first place. When I came to Jesus, I can remember it just like it was yesterday. May 31st, 1992. I was 10 years old. It was All Choir Sunday in Mount Olivet Baptist Church. I was sitting on the third row on the left side of the church, close to the front, because I was singing in the children's choir, and then we had all the choirs sing, and all the choirs came together. And then I heard the preacher preach. And that Sunday, I don't think it was the fact that the preacher was so good, but something in me at 10 years old said that this was the time. And I got up, and I went, and I took the preacher's hand, like they said, give the preacher your hand, God your heart. I did that. But in this instance, it wasn't just out of routine. It was the fact that I needed to do it because I was ready. I was ready. And I needed to do something about my life, even at 10 years old, because I've had grandparents read me Bible stories from the Word of God. And I've been in church all my life and all that kind of stuff. But I had to do something for me because I needed my own relationship, because I was not going to make it into heaven riding off of anybody else's salvation. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this, but here's the truth. Some of y'all thinking that you're going to make it in just because your parents made it in. You're going to make it in because you know the Lord for yourself. And when I did that, the next Sunday was the first Sunday. Went down, came up. And 26 years later, it still is fresh in my mind. Why? Because it was not a pass-by moment. When did you encounter the Lord for yourself? You ain't got to tell me. You can tell me later. You can come up with your own stuff. But think about it. When the Lord encountered you, what changed in you? Do you remember what happened when the Lord showed up for you? Think about it. Take 15 seconds. Take 15 seconds. Go ahead. No, don't look at me. Think about it for a minute. I'll turn my back. Take a minute. Take 15 good seconds. Because if you really think about what the Lord did for you then, and how the Lord has kept you now, I'm going to say it again. You think about what the Lord did for you then, and how the Lord has kept you now, there should be something on the inside of you that just generates and catches on fire. You should not be just idle and just say, well, it's just the same old thing. No! The Lord did something for you that nobody else could do. And David needed to tap back in to something that only God could give. Restore to me the joy. Remind me what it feels like to be in your presence. Remind me what it feels like for you to love me in the middle of the night when I'm all by myself. Okay, I'll move on because sometimes silence lets you know that you need to move on. Last thing and I'll finish. Rediscovering our joy motivates us to tell others about our source. Listen to what David said. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Once you do all this, I'm going to teach other folk that have been where I've been about you. Once I get what I need from you, my dedication is to tell somebody about what you did for me. Because if you could do it for me, you can do it for them. Listen to what I'm saying. When we go out of here on Sunday morning, when you go to your families, when you go into the community, when you go to your job, when you go wherever you're going to go, you have an obligation to tell somebody about what God has done for you. You're going to wait for me to tell your story? Can't do it because it ain't my story. You're going to wait for somebody else to mess up your story about what God did for you? You better not let anybody edit your story because you're the one that God delivered. You're the one God brought out. You're the one that God delivered from your troubles, your trials, and your tribulations. You're the one that has the story to tell. And guess what? When you tell your story, somebody's going to be changed. And why are they going to be changed? Because they're going to realize that, yes, God still saves real people. And what do I mean by real people? Real people got real issues. Real people got real troubles. People got trials and all kind of stuff from day to day. But they need to know that somebody somewhere is caring about them and holding them in the midst of it all. And that's why I can say without a shadow of a doubt in my mind that I'm so glad that I rediscovered my joy, because I don't have to wait on you to make me happy. I don't need to wait on stuff to make me happy. I don't need to wait on situations to change. All I need is to know that the Lord still walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I'm his own. And even in the midst of moments when I feel all by myself, I remember that his promise says that I will never leave you, I will forsake you, I will not leave your side. I'm still here with you. Tap into it. Tap into it. And watch what'll happen. Tap into it. And watch what God will do in your life. Tap into it. And watch how things will begin to change. Tap into it. And stop allowing stuff to overtake your life. You have the power to see stuff shift in your life. Create in me clean heart. Renew right spirit. Restore the joy of my salvation. Then I'll teach others like me your ways. And folk that have drifted away will come back to you.